Morning. It's good to see you. I want to say thank you for a couple things today. Number one, let me just say thank you. Today is actually our family's 1 year anniversary from the time that we moved from Chicago to being here. Amen. And don't get out of control over here with the Holy Ghost. All right. Got some girl up here saying hallelujah. And so thanks for keeping us around and not running us off. We appreciate that. And I want to say thank you to our church. You know, you guys did an incredible job this past week with our missions conference. And there's very few times in a year where I'll ask you to really step up and sacrifice, and missions conference is one of those. And I just want to share again with our church our offering from last Sunday. Our church committed, in addition to the 10% that we already budget, over $72,000 for missions in this coming year. Amen. And I am just so thankful to God that we're getting super close to giving almost 20% of our entire budget away to missions here and around the world. Amen? And God is just so good. Amen. Let's go. And so if you would, this morning, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And when you turn there, let me share with you something fun. Just a little bit of fun. In 2 weeks, we're going to have our Harvest Fest. And it's not Harvest Fest like Trunk or Treat like you've done in years gone by. But we're going to have a fun day for the kids, and we're going to have face painting and pumpkin painting and some other things like that, maybe even a bounce house and whatnot. But we're going to have a chili cook-off, and I need about 20 or 30 folks that will bring their A game and make some of the best chili that we've ever tasted in the Ozarks. In fact, we're so committed to this that we're going to have a medallion for the winner of the chili cook-off, and you get to wear that medallion every week to church for the next year. You get front row parking. I'm just kidding. You don't get in. But we are going to have a medallion. Next year, we're going to get a wrestling belt. So when you walk into church, you can just hold it up. We thought about passing out the humble award, but then you'd probably hold that up and it'd get taken away from you. So, yeah, I'm humble. Oh, wait. So, anyways, 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who by God's grace are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to the result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you've not seen him, you love him, and though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And Father in heaven, we come to you this morning the only way that we know how, and that's through the grace of Jesus Christ. And Father in heaven, I just pray this morning that in this hour, I imagine there are many that are carrying burdens. There are many that are going through trials, and they're going through things that they don't even really know what the outcome is going to be. And so God, our Father, I pray this morning that our faith would be strengthened in this hour. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be very real in our lives, that the Holy Spirit would be real in this place today. And when we leave here this morning, that we wouldn't talk about how wonderful the message is, but we'd talk about how great and faithful God is. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, real quick, someone told me today, you know, today, this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And there's a lot of, you know, stuff out on social media about how to show appreciation to your pastor. And someone did that for me today. Someone said to me, "Hey, Pastor, this is one of the best things that pastors love to hear. I brought a guest today. We brought some guests today." And then the next thing they said to me, "Hey, could you try not to be a poser? Don't lay an egg on this message." And so I'm going to do the best I can, because we're starting a new series entitled Stand Firm. My hope is that we can grow in our faith and not be overcome when life is hard. Because oftentimes we find ourselves in moments that are difficult, moments that are challenging. And we often find ourselves in moments where it seems that it's more than we can bear. And I remember growing up in church, and for many years people would say, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle. And that's just not in the Bible. Because the reality is that God does give us more that we can handle. And God wants to get us to a place where we have to trust Him and where we have to depend on Him. Now, we're going to spend the next couple of months in the book of Peter. And as we look at this book, Peter is the author of this letter, and he was writing to Christians in the first century during a time of intense hardship and intense persecution. In fact, Nero, the Roman emperor at the time, had set the city on fire. And it was the fire that lasted about 6 days, completely devastating the city, the economic stability of the city. And in response to this, he leveled an accusation that the Christians started the fire, and that then began initiating the empire's persecution of Christians in that day and age. If you know anything about history, you know that many of the Christians in Nero's time were persecuted for their faith and for their commitment to Jesus Christ. Many of those Christians were sewn into animal skins and devoured by lions. Others Nero would use in the evening, and he would take Christians and he would line them up on posts so that he could light the city. And so they were facing intense persecution and hardship in their day. And Peter, who wrote this letter, who was an apostle that walked with Jesus, wanted to encourage his brothers and sisters to stand firm. And he wanted them to stand firm in moments of fear, and in moments of opposition, and in moments of difficulty, and in moments of uncertainty. And I want you to know this morning, it's a very normal thing to struggle with uncertainty. It's certainly a normal thing to struggle with fear of the outcome of the unknown. It's certainly normal to struggle with difficulty. Everybody struggles. And yet there's very few who actually stand firm in their faith. There are very few that grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so often for many of us, and there certainly have been times in my life and seasons in my life where my faith, my commitment to God, my trust in God was overturned and overrun by fear. And I'd imagine for many of you that might be your story today. And that's one of the major themes of this book. And Peter tackles this very issue with us of overcoming our fear of the future, our fear of the unknown, our fear of the difficulties and the hardships that we face. And so Peter wants us to overcome our fear with a rock-solid, unshakable faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Peter, obviously, was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was one of the disciples, and Peter was a guy that had a lot of fear. Peter walked on water, but then he took his eyes off Jesus because he started looking at the storm and he began to sink. It began to sink. Later on, you know, Jesus told Peter, look, before the sun goes down, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he says, no, man, I'm going to the death with you. And it wasn't shortly after that, but a few hours later when Peter was approached by a young little girl who said, didn't you walk with Jesus of Galilee? He ends up cursing her out because he's afraid of what the outcome would be. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says this. Look at this with me. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The reality is that for you and me and for every single one of us, we can grow in our faith. And that's exactly what Peter's saying here. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want you to realize this morning that no matter where you find yourself in your faith journey today, you may have never even put your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You may not know that you're forgiven of your sins and that heaven is your home and that God loves you and that you're right with God. There might be some in here today that you got a phone call this week and it changed everything for you in your life. And so you're starting to be overrun and overcome with fear. And I want you to know this morning, we can grow from a place of fear to a place of faith. We can grow from a place of despair and discouragement to a place of complete and utter dependence on God Himself. And so the big idea today is this, is we can stand firm when we focus our faith on a living hope. Now, sometimes life can be really challenging and difficult, and I often find myself wondering, man, and maybe you're this way too, I often find myself wondering in moments of difficulty, in those dark moments where it feels like you're all alone and no one understands, I often wonder, does God really care about what's going on in my life? Is God going to do anything about this? Because I've seen him show up in the lives of others. I've seen God do the supernatural in other people's lives. But does he really care about me? Does he know what's really going on with me? And I imagine you found yourself in a difficult seasons and the energy to move forward and to have faith and to trust in God. It just sometimes it's just not there. How many know what I'm talking about today? Say amen. Sometimes it just feels like, man, I don't know if I can put my foot in front of the other one. I don't know if I can get out of bed today because the task seems too great and life seems too hard. It just feels like God isn't even aware. He's not here. We live discouraged because of the difficulties we face, and we want to quit. We want to give up. Standing firm just isn't an option for us. Sometimes we get confused and we get discouraged by the trials and we falter in our faith journey and we're tempted to wave the white flag when we should stand strong. And I imagine there are many who have felt this. I know I certainly have. But you know, the Bible teaches us in this text. The Bible shows us how we can stand firm when life is unpredictable, when it's difficult, when life just feels like it's just one challenge after another, one difficulty after another. And so the next time that you struggle to trust God with the uncertainties and difficulties of life, I want you to ask yourself this question. And please write it down with me today, if you would. Write down this question. What does it take to stand firm? What does it take to stand firm when life is shifty? What does it take to stand firm when I don't have the strength to stand? What does it take to stand firm when life is unpredictable? Surprisingly, it has very little to do with our own strength. And the answer isn't do better, try harder, and pull up your bootstraps. No, what we find in the scriptures, and we find this in verses 3 and 4 to begin with, is that we actually must stand in the promise of God. Peter's reminding us that those who follow Jesus have an eternal inheritance. He said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter reminds them that they have an eternal inheritance. He goes on to say in verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And this is so powerful, considering that Christians are being persecuted. They're being martyred for their faith. They're literally losing their lives, their earthly lives, for their stand in the grace and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what Peter is saying to them is, listen, Nero may take your life, and you may give your life, and you may be martyred for what you believe, but there is an inheritance that is imperishable, and it's unfading, and it's incorruptible. And no matter what this life does to you, there is a salvation to be had in Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a salvation to be had in Jesus Christ. And these first century Christians stood firm in the faith and they overcame their fears because they believed that Jesus died and he rose from the grave and it galvanized them to stand firm in the witness of the gospel to a lost world. And listen, folks, our world that we live in today, it's unraveling at the seams. Everything about our world is messed up. And we live in a broken world because of sin. And yet the hope that we have is found in a living hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Peter reminds them in this verse, he says, according to his great mercy, Peter reminds them of the mercy of God and of the one that they follow who came back from the grave. You see, we have a Savior, a Redeemer, and a friend who conquered death, hell, and the grave. This past week, we lost a dear friend of ours, a gentleman who was a deacon and a trustee for over 45 years in my wife's home church. His daughter, Erin, was one of the ones that came and planted a church with us and sang in our ensemble team, taught my kids the Bible from a very early age, and was faithful to God. on any normal day, her dad was pulling out of work, and all of a sudden a car hit him. He had a heart attack and survived for several hours, only to find out that it was his time to step out into eternity. And imagine getting that call that your dad has just passed away because someone swiped his car. And the reality is that a year from now, there's going to be some of you that are sitting in this room today that you're not going to be sitting here a year from now because you're going to get a phone call and you're going to be told you have cancer. Or you're going to find out that your spouse was in a car accident or something happened to one of your kids. And while I don't want to be doom and gloom today, life would be so discouraging and would be so filled with darkness and despair if we didn't understand and know and believe that there is a life to come, and it pales in comparison to anything that this life has to offer. So we find our hope in a living Savior, Jesus Christ. In His mercy, He's called us from sin to salvation, and He gave us the promise of life, abundant and eternal life, and He's promised forgiveness for sinners. God has set us free from our sin and our bondage, and we have a new and living hope. We have a living hope that provides salvation. You see, Jesus Christ, He died on the cross and He came back from the dead with the promise to transform us and return for us one day. He is a living hope that forgives sin and sets us free from the bondage of living empty lives. Every person in this room, this is the good news today. Every single person in this room today can know that you're right with God, that your sins are forgiven, and that one day when you wake up on the other side, that you can find yourself in the arms of Jesus. Amen? It's the hope that we have. So no matter what this world does to us, no matter what this world takes from us, we are living for a life to come. Living hope gives us confidence of a new life, the real hope and possibility of transformation. And this hope can only come from Jesus Christ. We can look to His mercy. We can look to our living hope. We can look to the resurrection of Jesus, and we can stand in the mercy of God. We can stand in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross at Calvary. So we stand in the promise. But then we stand in the power. Look at verses 5 and 6. He goes, "Who by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter is encouraging you and me, and he's encouraging his readers by reminding us that we're guarded by the almighty power of God. I don't know that that always resonates with us. The almighty, unwavering, omnipotent power of a living God. A God who spoke the worlds into existence by the word of His power. A God who holds all things together, as Paul talks about in the book of Colossians. We're held together. We're guarded by. We're protected by God Himself. And so this morning, no matter what phone call we get, no matter what diagnosis that we receive, no matter what news comes our way, we must be reminded that nothing in this life touches us that is not for our good and for the glory of God. Amen? So the power of God in this text is that when life is out of control, we serve a God who is omnipotent, a God who is all-powerful. He's almighty. He holds it together when life is at its worst. You realize this morning in your most dark moment, in your darkest moment, in your loneliest moment, in your most trying day, God is near. God is protecting you. God and His power is right there with you. We live a life that we do not control. Difficulties and adversities do not ask permission to touch our lives. Many of us don't wake up one day and say, "You know what? I'm ready for some difficulty today. Just bring it on." Very few of us do that. And if you do, I want to check your head after service. Amen? But none of us wake up and say, "Hey, sign me up for a flat tire on the way to work today. Hey, sign me up for losing my job today. Sign me up for a health setback." No, none of us do that. None of us control what we think we control. Life can often make us feel and, in fact, leave us powerless to do anything. And that's the reality of the world that we live in. We live in a world filled with brokenness. We live in a world that is broken by sin. And this brokenness is caused by thy sin, caused by sin, and it reminds us of our need for the divine. You see, all the things that we face in this life are there simply to remind us of how much we need God. And we ask questions like, man, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do we have to go through difficulty? Why is there sex trafficking? Why is there, all of the different things that we have to face in the world? Why is there divorce? Why is there domestic violence? Well, we live in a broken world. We live in a world that's riddled with sin. It's permeated by sin. And you and I feel the effects and the impact of that. And oftentimes when we do, it makes us feel powerless to do anything. And it's not uncommon to be afraid and afraid of the uncertainty that we face in this life. But mark it down today. You don't control what you think you control. In fact, control is an illusion. But we follow a living hope that has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And you and I this morning, we can stand firm in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And while we may not have control or any power in our lives except for how we respond, listen to this. God Himself has the power to fulfill His purpose in our life. Amen? So no matter what happens to us in this life, the purpose of God will never be hindered by or offset by anything, because God is powerful than anything, more powerful than anything you and I ever face. And when we struggle with fear, we can be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Jen Wilkin, in her book, None Like Him, says, the antidote for anxiety is to remember and confess that we can trust the future to God. We're powerless in this life, but we serve a God and we follow a living hope that guards our faith and protects our life in a way to complete His will for us. Because of who He is and what He has done, He calls us to stand firm in the face of trials that are not intended to crush our faith, but those trials are there to confirm our faith. And that's what leads us to our last thought this morning in verse number 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation or at the coming of Jesus Christ. And Peter reminds them to stand in the purpose. Stand in the purpose. Peter reminds them that the development of their faith is more valuable than anything in this world, and he uses gold to illustrate the value of a tested faith. Warren Wiersbe said, and it's a famous quote that he used many years ago, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Listen, man, you know that you're of the faith when you keep trusting God, you keep believing God, you keep following God, you keep looking to the faithfulness of God when the bottom's falling out, when life is shifting, when it feels like there's nothing under you and all of life is just wobbly, which is why David would often say, set me on a plane that is larger than I. Let me stand on the rock that is Jesus Christ Himself. You know, the moment you put your faith in God and you put your faith in Him and you entrust Him with your pain and your trial, do you realize that it's precious to God that you would give that to Him, that you would trust Him with your life, that you would reach out for Him in your most lonely moment, in your most difficult moment? You may be facing unfair criticism, a dissolving marriage, or being fired from a job. And I want to encourage you today, reach out to Him and see how He shows up in your darkest and most difficult moments. Because that's when your faith gets real. That's when God shows up. And what I want to tell you this morning, when God shows up in your life, everything changes. And some of you this morning, you're facing a dissolving marriage. You're facing financial setback. You're facing a health issue that's a major setback for you or for your spouse or maybe even for a loved one. And while it's difficult, and while it's a struggle, you can trust God with that. And the reality You may sit here and you may think, man, no one understands. No one gets what I'm going through. Pastor, you don't know my situation. And friends, I want to tell you today, I've been through some seasons of loneliness. I've been through seasons of depression and discouragement. I've had seasons of despair, wondering, man, how's this thing going to turn out? And I've just sat alone and wondered, God, are you really here? Did you really mean what you said in Romans 8 when you said you're going to work all things together for good? Because it don't feel good, it doesn't look good, and the outcome doesn't seem very promising. And sometimes you have to go through your thing. You got to go through your difficulty, and you got to go through it alone. Because God wants to get real in your life. He doesn't want to crush your faith. He wants to confirm your faith. He wants to show you that there is something in life more valuable than getting the outcome that you want. And that's knowing and resting in the presence and the power of Almighty God. When you believe that God is here to make your life easier, you're going to struggle to stand firm. Your faith is on shaky ground and you'll falter in the way. So often we pretend like we have it together. And trials show us where we need to grow and our dependence on God. And this morning, let Him show you and move toward Him in faith. Don't resist. Don't complain. Don't grumble. And it's hard. It's hard not to grumble. It's hard not to complain. Man, I'm faithful at church. I give to the missions offering. I serve in kids' ministry. And I just want to say, man, if you serve in the nursery, that's like preaching 9 sermons. Amen? Kids are crazy down there. If you don't believe in the depravity of man, go serve in the nursery. Kids need Jesus. And I'm doing everything right. Loving my wife, loving my kids. I've been faithful. Didn't cut anyone off in traffic this week. And yet my life is just coming apart at the seams. This isn't fair. And the reality is life isn't fair. Life is a struggle. Life is difficult. But it's supposed to be. Because this life is not all there is. We live for another day. We're all going to stumble in this. Man, we're going to complain. In fact, some of us are going to lose our marbles on our family. We're going to come home from a long day losing our job or finding out bad news or things don't go our way or just constantly struggling under the pressure of whatever trial that we're currently in. And we lose it on our spouse. We lose it on our kids. Sometimes even in disappointment, our faith begins to dissolve because we lose hope and we wonder, man, is this ever going to get better? Is it ever going to be easier? I look what Solomon said in Proverbs 24:16, the righteous fall 7 times and yet they rise again. He just keeps getting back up. He just keeps standing. He keeps standing in the promises of God. He keeps standing in the purpose of God. He stands in the power of God. And even when we fall, and even when we fail, we can stand up. Amen? We can stand up. We can find energy, not in our flesh, but we find energy by putting our faith in God. Our natural response in almost anything, and we know this from a kid when we learn about adrenaline, it's fight or flight. Most of us, we run from our problems rather than standing firm. We often run from our problems rather than reaching out to God. The trials not only test our faith, but they also strengthen for God to do His will. Trials prepare us for the purpose, for His purpose. And purpose begins with growing our faith. Listen, God is taking you to a higher level. God is taking you to a place of deeper intimacy so that you can have the impact that He wants to have in your life for others. He wants your trials and your difficulties and your adversities to be a testimony of the faithfulness of God. But let's be honest, being in the fire, it isn't easy. Having faith in God is often hard. Tim Keller said in his book, The Reason for God, it's not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. Cast your fear, your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Bring your weight, bring your burden, bring your struggle, bring your trial, bring your difficulty, and lay it on God. He's the object of our faith. We have a living hope that has the power to complete His purpose in our faith. I love what Paul said in Philippians 1:6, writing from jail, doing what God called him to do. And he says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I ain't going to sing today. Can I get an amen? But I got a little song that I learned as a kid, stuck with me all these years. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, but he's still what? Still working on me. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, but he's still working on me. And every difficulty, and every adversity, and every trial, and every setback, God's just chiseling away, conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. I've often heard it said, you know, God's design is not to make you happy, but to make you holy. And again, it's one of those Christian platitudes that are just kind of foolish. I think God wants to make us both holy and happy. Because I think the most happy I am is when I find myself in the presence of God. Even when it feels like life is unraveling, even when it feels like life is discouraging, even when there's unfair criticism, even when things are a struggle, even when it seems like nothing is going right. Well, you get in the presence of Jesus Christ and you'll find peace. You get in the presence of a living hope, you'll find power. You get in the presence of a living hope and you'll find purpose. And you'll understand what it means to live your life for God and for a life to come. Have you ever thought about why you may not be standing firm? Have you ever considered why you're so frustrated and you're complaining about life all of the time? I want you to imagine for a moment just getting to a place. I mean, really, really getting to a place where you stand in the grace of God for your life. No matter what comes your way, you just find yourself standing in the promise of a living hope, protected by His power, living for His purpose. And you just find yourself in that moment, no matter what happens. Imagine what it would mean to never lose your joy because of your circumstances and your difficulties. Imagine the rejoicing there would be in your home, the rejoicing there would be in your life. Imagine the unfolded purpose of God and the incredible impact to His faithfulness that you could have if you stood in the promise of God. And recognizing that you're protected by the power of God so that He could fulfill His purpose in your life. Imagine what that would be for you. Imagine seeing your problems as a platform for your purpose or seeing your circumstances shaping your personal calling. Because I believe this morning that's totally possible when you follow Jesus. When you just go hard after Jesus. When you trust in and you live for and you pursue a living hope. And I pray that you'll move to greater heights with God when you're in your darkest moments, your most challenging times in your life, and that you would be a testimony of His faithfulness for those who do not yet follow Jesus and those who need to know Him. Because listen, here's what happens. A living hope gives you clarity. A living hope gives you clarity. And the reality is trials wake us up to what's truly life and living. It reveals what's important. You get a cancer diagnosis and you begin to think about what's really important. Yesterday, and I mean, don't make fun of me after church today, because if you do, I'm going to do something that's not good, okay? So don't come at me after church today. But yesterday, something just washed over me, and I just realized that I got like 2 years with Ellie, a year with Ellie, and 2 years with the other one, Brianna. And so, yeah, the other one, you know? That sounds super sentimental, but I just realized that yesterday. I mean, I was remembering, and I'm looking over here at the Deweys this morning. I remember when my kids were their age, and you know, when they're that little, they're just sweet, aren't they? You know, there's like this time after they're born and they get out of the most glorious day as a parent is when they get out of diapers and a car seat and they can buckle themselves. Can I get a witness? Amen? And then there's this like window, you know, where they're just absolutely precious and fun to be with. And everything is new to them and everything is a joy. And then they get their teenage years, and that's like a mixed bag of craziness. And so yesterday, April and I were running Ellie somewhere, and it just washed over me all of a sudden that, man, my time is short on this. And I started looking through pictures of our kids, and I was in the truck, and April was driving, and I started flipping through those pictures, and I said, Ellie, do you remember this? You remember this day? You remember when we went here, and I started showing her all these pictures? Because I was trying to, you know, show her, I was like, man, you kids were so sweet back then, and you didn't fight with each other, and they're good kids. My kids are great, you know, for the most part. Give them something to reach for, you know what I mean? But I was just saying, you remember this? And then Ellie from the back seat, are you crying? I said, shut your mouth. I'm swelling up a little bit, my eyeballs. My eyeballs are sweating. Leave me alone. It's just crazy. I'm sitting there crying. I'm like a 40-year-old man just crying over just, you know. But you know what? Trials do that. Trials wake you up to what's really important. They wake you up to the people that you need to witness to. They wake you up to living for things that actually matter. Because when you're going through adversity, going to the lake doesn't matter. Making more money doesn't matter. All the things that we're pursuing in this life, all the things that we're reaching for and that that we would define as successful, when you get touched by trials, they don't matter. That kind of stuff is no big deal. In fact, Living Hope gives you greater comfort in trials. Gives you clarity, gives you comfort. Trials are painful, man. There's no doubt. They touch you in a way that makes you feel so vulnerable. And they're painful, but they're preparing us for eternity. And in comparison to eternity, are our trials really that big of a deal? And that's a hard thing as a pastor to say, because oftentimes in my office, I sit in my office, and when I was thinking about this message, I sit in my office and I think about you. I think about all of you. And I sit there and my heart's burdened and heavy for the pain in your lives. And my prayer is that your faith would be made strong, that you would see the power of God to guide you when life is hard. And that a living hope that Jesus Christ would give you clarity about what's really valuable in this life. And where do you find your comfort? Making more money, getting another promotion, going on another trip, that's not going to bring you the comfort that your soul was designed to experience. And while we all struggle, we can stand in the midst of difficulty with a faith that is growing, and we can rely on God's promise to guide us day by day with joy. Because the big idea is this, is that we can stand firm when we focus our faith on a living hope. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this morning, how many of you could say to me, Pastor Jason, I certainly know what it means to be right with God. I know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I can give testimony of that today by lifting my hand. Would you lift your hand and let me see those that know Jesus this morning? Amen. Now, how many of you'd say to me this morning, Pastor, I'm not certain that I'm right with God. I'm not certain that I've been forgiven of my sins. And if I were to slip out into eternity today, I don't know that heaven is my home. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone that's like that that's here today? Anyone at all? Amen. Now, how many of you'd say to me this morning, Pastor, I want to stand firm. I want to stand in the promise of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And I don't want to waste the hurt. I don't want to waste the purpose of God in my life. Now, I have a tendency to complain and gripe and grumble about my situation, but I don't want to do that. I want to stand with my living hope, Jesus Christ. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray with you and for you today? Man, there are hands all over the room. Would you all just do this for me this morning? Stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and let me say this prayer over you today. Father in heaven, we thank you again for Jesus Christ. I don't even know that I could begin to even imagine what my life would be like without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful this morning that you've conquered death, hell, and the grave. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've given us something to live for beyond this life, something that's worth living for, something that is significant, something that is eternal. And God, this life is hard and it's broken by sin. And oftentimes, we lose faith. We struggle to trust you and to depend on you. And God, I just ask this morning for our church that they would lean into you. They would know your presence. They would know your power. They'd know the promise of God. And I just pray that we would see you work in the rest of this service, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Derek's going to begin singing a song with us here in just a moment with our worship team. You know, we talk a lot about the altar around here at our church, and the altar is for believers. The altar really is for those of us who know Jesus and those who follow him. Those of us who might be in a place where we're losing our faith, or we're struggling in our faith, or there's a discouragement or a disappointment or some type of despair. There's some difficulty that is just weighing on us. And I can tell you many times in my life where I've struggled.
been many times in my life where I just wanted to quit and throw in the towel. But I'd sit in church and I'd hear a pastor say something. He'd speak a word of faith into my soul. It wasn't him speaking to me. It was the Holy Spirit of God. In a place of desperation, in a place of humility, I'd step out of my seat and I'd walk down that aisle and I would bow my soul and bend my knee to the one who I could trust in. And if you're struggling today in your faith, if there's despair in your life, if there's difficulty that just seems like it's too much for you today, I want to encourage you on the first note this morning to step out of your aisle. Even if you have to climb over three people, get to the aisle, get to the altar, and give your burden to Jesus.